Today's shiur will be beginning on the Ayin Tes Amud Aleph, toward the top of the page, Maseches Bava Basra. Before beginning the shiur, we highly recommend printing out the daf, and even better, ordering your volume of the Shas Ozer Pre-Mark Gemaras, Maseches Bava Basra. The Gemara begins with some droshos. The note on the side, in the marked editions, we try to feature topic headings and structural notes, sometimes separately, sometimes combined. In this case, we've combined the topic heading with the structural note on the outside margin. You notice the Nosei Mivneh heading, and you see a double underline with dots in it. These double underlines are part of our series markings. The marking system features geometric forms that show that a series of something is about to appear. In this case, we added to the geometric forms the use of double underlines. It's noted in the margin, Beis Droshos Be'inyan Mi Sheporesh Midivrei Torah. Two droshes concerning those that leave learning. Omar Rav Yehuda, Omar Rav. This is the first drosh, as indicated by the number one. Kol HaPoresh Midivrei Torah Eish Ochlosoi. One who leaves the occupation or the dedication of his time to Limud Torah, then he's destined to be consumed by fire. Shenemar, v'nosati es ponai bohem me ho'esh yotso'u v'ho'esh tochleim. The Pusik says, me ho'esh yotso'u, it's a reference to people that left esh. Torah is referred to as esh, is referred to as fire. The pasuk that proves that is in Yirmiyahu, and the Rashbam quotes it, Halo ko devarai ka'esh. The end of the pasuk says, V'ho'esh tochleim. If they left Torah, they'll be consumed by fire. Ki also ravdimi om rav yonison kol apurish atzmo midivrei Torah. There's an alternative girsa that's noted on the inside margin, found in the Sefer Hagois Marakoyin. It says, Ko hamarape atzmoi midivrei Torah, one who makes himself loose from Torah. In other words, he might be involved with Torah, but not in a dedicated, in a serious fashion. The Gemara Girsa that we have is similar to what was mentioned before, in the sense, Ko haporesh, one who leaves, Ko haporesh atzmo midivrei Torah, nofel begehenem, shneamar, odom toye miderech haskel, bekal refoim yonuach. One who veers off of the derech haskel, of the path of wisdom, which of course is Torah. So he finds himself in the group of refoim. Ve'ein refoim ela gehenim. The term refoim is a reference to that institution known as gehenim. Shenemar v'lo yoda ki refoim sham be'imke sha'ol kru'eha. And that pasuk indicates the double expression. There's imke sha'ol and refoim, a reference to gehenim. And you see in the pasuk the use of refoim together with imke sha'ol, hence a proof that refoim means gehenim. In Judaism, it's worth noting the centrality of Torah study. Judaism expects one not only to be practicing the ritual aspect of the Torah, the mitzvos ma'asios, but another major element of Jewish practice is the involvement of Torah study. This might be something unique to Judaism, this idea of total involvement or maximum involvement with Torah study. When we use the term maximum involvement, it means that each person, according to what he's able to do, but one has to make a serious consideration of how much time he truly has available to dedicate himself to Torah. In other words, there's a life of earning a living, eating, drinking, taking care of other essential needs. And outside of that, preoccupation with Torah learning. The more that one can dedicate himself to Torah learning, the greater, the loftier the individual is considered. Mochar ashpo, mochar zivla, v'chulei. Tnan hosom. We have a Tanaic source. This you can see by the fact that it's a section of Gemara that appears in a frame. Framed sources in the marking system are of Tanaic origin to distinguish it from the rest of the Gemara. this source will deal with dedications to the temple. When we talk about the temple dedications, there are different categories. There's dedications to the Mizbeach, sacrifices, animals that are worthy to be offered on the altar. There are dedications to Bedek HaBayis, the temple repair fund, things like bricks, mortar, other items that can be inserted into the actual building that would be called Bedek HaBayis. And then there are items that are not fit for the Mizbeach, nor to be used in the actual construction of the temple. Those type of dedications, we'll categorize them as Kedushas Domim. The item gets holiness in terms of its value, its market value, and ultimately those things can be redeemed, exchanged for things that are for the Beis HaMikdash proper. The source will also describe dedication of items that have content, contain something else, and will, later in the source there will be a contrast with the same items being dedicated and only later being filled up with content. And the question is, what is considered part of, what is being dedicated? What's included in the dedication? So we begin the source. Kol haroi lemizbeach v'lo lebedek habayis, lebedek habayis v'lo lemizbeach, lo lemizbeach v'lo lebedek habayis, something that's not fit nor for the altar, nor for temple fund, the temple repair itself, namely those items that have kedushas domim, mo'alin, bohen, uvama, shebesoichon. Nevertheless, even though something might not be fit for the mizbeach, nor for the temple fund, for the temple repair material, nevertheless, since it has holiness because it has been dedicated, its value has been dedicated, mo'alin, bohen, uvama, shebesoichon, one who uses it for his personal purposes, is guilty of this form of transgression known as mi'ilah. The source just mentioned, not only is use of the item itself for personal purposes a reason for violation of mi'ilah, but also the use of its contents. Ketzad, examples. Hikdish bor mele omayim, one dedicated a pit to the temple. He didn't mention anything about the water. He mentioned I'm dedicating the pit. But the pit happened to be filled with water. Ashbos, likewise, he dedicated the ashbo, which is an area in which fertilizer material is stored. And these ashbos are maleo zevel, happen to be filled with zevel. Of course, these are items, the zevel, the fertilizer, for example, is an example of something that's not fit nor for the mizbeach, nor for bedek habayis. As opposed to water, which is fit for bedek habayis, because the water could be mixed with materials to create mortar. Shovach malei yoinim, one dedicated a bird coop. The bird coop happened to contain birds. Sode malei asovim, dedicated a field that happened to be filled with grass. Ilon nosui peros, a tree that had fruit on it. Mo'alin bohen uvema shebesochan, one who uses these items for himself and benefits from it the amount of a shoveh pruta, he's guilty of mi'ilah, not only the items, but also if he's nene from the contents of these things as was listed. Avol, hiktish bor v'achar kach nismalei mayim, he dedicated an empty pit. Only later on did it become filled with water. Ashbo v'achar kach nismalei zevel, shovach v'achar kach nismalei yoinim, ilon v'achar kach nosa peros, sode v'achar kach nismalei asovim. Mo'alin bohen v'ein mo'alin b'ma shebesochon, divrei Rabbi Yehuda. In the case that he dedicated the items in their empty state, and only later they became filled up, the halacha, according to Rabbi Yehuda, is he's in violation of mi'ilah if he uses it for his personal benefit, only the item itself, but not the contents that got filled up later on. The Rashbam points out underneath the Gemara, a few lines, Ein mo'alin b'mashe b'sochon, the sphere lay the rebuta, Ein mi'ilo b'gidulin. The violation of mi'ilo does not apply to things that grow later on. The mishum groma, the kogorim le karka hegdish li godel, Ein lonu lasoso hegdish. Even though the ground which is sanctified is a causative, causes the grass or the fruits to be grown. Demikol makom ein mamoshus dehegdish mu'urav bahen. Nevertheless, when the fruit develops, you don't have actual hegdish in it. All you have is the background of the fruit, namely the ground or the tree that was dedicated. But in the tree is not in the fruit itself. Rabbi Yossi Omer. Hamakdish es ha-sode ve-es ha-ilon mo'alin bohen uve-gidu lehem. He cites two specific examples where he disagrees with Rabbi Yehuda, wherein one who dedicates a tree or a field, the sode, the field, the ilon, the tree, one violates not only if he violates me'ila, if he uses the tree or the field for his personal benefit, but also for the growth that develops therein. Ipnei shehen gidu lehegdish, because they grow from something that itself is hegdish. They develop from within that which is already hegdish. The topic that we're dealing with is, in fact, as indicated on the side, our nosei heading, Hamakdish Dover Mesuyam, one who sanctifies a particular item, the Achakach Nismales, and later on gets filled up. We're now continuing in the Gemara with another Tanaic source, Omar Rebbe. Notice Rebbe's name has been circled. He's a significant shita in the flow of the Gemara. Nirin divrei Rebbe Yehuda, bebor v'shovach. It says it appears more likely to accept the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda with regard to one who sanctifies a bor, a pit, or a shovach, a coop, that are empty and later become filled up, that we said that the future content is not hegdish, and hence there's no me'ila on the future content. V'divrei Rabbi Yossi b'sod avilan, and Rabbi says, I agree with Rabbi Yossi, I would paskin like Shitas Rabbi Yossi with regard to the din of Sod of Ilan, which we saw in the source, and we actually dashed underlined the key expression two lines up, where there is mi'ila on the future growth in the case of the field and the tree. The Gemara now raises a question, and the question surrounds the inferences that one can draw from the two clauses in the source in which Rebbe was found. Gemara asks, Hi, Mai. What is this source talking about? Bishlama, Nirin Divrei Rabbi Yehuda Bebor V'Shovach. I can appreciate the phrase where Rebbe says, I like Rabbi Yehuda's opinion with regard to Bor V'Shovach, whereby that which filled up later is not Kadosh, is not holy. Michlal, the polig asode v'ilan. And one could infer from that Rabbi Yehuda disagrees with the din of sode an ilan. We know he argues there, and in the case of sode v'ilan, Rabbi would say, I appreciate Rabbi Yossi. Namely, that the future growth becomes holy. So the phrase of Nirin Divrei Rabbi Yehuda Bebor V'Shovach, with its implied idea that Rabbi Yehuda disagrees with regard to Sod of Ilan, that we understand. Elo Nirin Divrei Rabbi Yossi B'Sode V'Ilan, that I like, says Rabbi, Shitas Rabbi Yossi with regard to Sod of Ilan, which means that which comes later on will be holy. It sounds from this phrase that I like what Rabbi Yossi says about Sod of Ilan, Michlal, the Gemara asks, with a state of bitmiyah, with a state of wonderment, Michlal, depolig, bebor, v'shovach. Are we to infer that Rabbi Yossi disagrees with regard to bor v'shovach? Namely, that by Rebbe saying, I like Rabbi Yossi, in the context of Sod of Ilan, it sounds like I don't like what he says with regard to bor v'shovach. Namely, that only in the case of Sod of Ilan do I accept the idea that there's sanctification of that which comes afterwards. But is it to be assumed that Rabbi Yossi happens to hold that there's sanctification, that which comes later on in the case of bor v'shovach? V'ha, Rabbi Yossi, Soda v'ilon ko'omar. But Rabbi Yossi says his din only in the case of Soda Ilan. Only there do we say that there's sanctification in that which comes later on. Namely, Rabbi Yossi doesn't have a differing opinion in the case of Bor v'Shovach. V'chi tema l'dvorav d'Rabbi Yehuda ko'omar. You might think that Rabbi Yossi, in fact, does disagree in the case of Bor v'Shovach as well, namely the future things that accumulate there will be sanctified. And the understanding would be as follows, if you accept this idea that L'dvorav de Rabbi Yehuda Komar, and we've written in between the lines, and we'll read what appears there, Klomar, L'didi b'chol dovor mo'el al habo achakach. As far as I am concerned, in this supposition, says Rabbi Yossi, anything that appears later on, I feel there would be mi'ila. There would be this violation. L'didcha hayisa tzorech l'hoidois b'sada v'ilon. But you, Rabbi Yehuda, should have agreed with me, at least, in the case of sada v'ilon, shemoyo al habo achar kach. Nevertheless, that way of reading is not acceptable. V'hotanya, Omar Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi says explicitly, "Ein ani roe divrei, or possibly devorov shel Rabbi Yehuda besode v'ilon. I don't accept what he says in the realm of sode v'ilon, where Rabbi Yehuda said the future growth is not sanctified. But nei shehen gidulei hektish, because of this unique factor, because they grow forth directly from something that's already been sanctified, namely the field or the tree. And from this source we can see very easily the inference, Besada v'ilon hu de'eno ro'eh. In the case of Sada v'ilon alone, there is disagreement. Ha b'bor v'shovach ro'eh. But in the case of the pit and the coop, Rabbi Yossi agrees with Rabbi Yehuda that there's no mi'ila on that which comes afterwards. That's the end of our long question. We have a long question marking, which had started a few lines up, as you can see, as indicated by the kuf that's encircled with a vertical dashed line. In other words, all of these lines were necessary in order to develop the question. Let's just review the question momentarily. We were having difficulty with that which is implied by the phrase in the source at the end of the narrow lines where Rebbe said, I like that which Rabbi Yossi says, only with regard to Soda V'ilon, implying that Rabbi Yossi would follow that line even with regard to Bor V'Shovach. But we see that Rabbi Yossi doesn't say any point of disagreement with regard to Bor V'Shovach. Therefore, it's necessary for the Gemara to re-understand the source in which Rebbe appeared. And that's what the Gemara does now. Hochi ko'amar, this is what Rebbe meant to say. And we treat in our marking system the re-reading or the re-understanding of Tanaic sources as if they are Tanaic sources. And hence we treat them the same way by putting a frame around it. And as stated, Hochi ko'amar, this is what Rebbe was trying to say. Nirin divrei Rebbe Yehuda l'Rabbi Yossi. The opinion of Rabbi Yehuda that future accumulation is not sanctified is something that Rabbi Yossi approves, the Bor V'Shovach. Sha'af Rabbi Yossi lo nechlak alav, even Rabbi Yossi himself didn't disagree with Rabbi Yehuda and say that future development is sanctified, elo b'sod v'ilon. His point of disagreement only concerned the issue of the field and the tree. Aval bavor v'shovach modi lei. But in the case of the pit, which was sanctified and only later on water came in, and the case of the bird coop, which was sanctified in its empty state and only later on did birds occupy it, modi lei, Rabbi Yossi agrees with Rabbi Yehuda that those future accumulations are not sanctified. Tanu Rabbanan. The Gemara proceeds to a new Tanaic source. Before we continue with the source itself, we make note of that which appears between the lines. We have a he'ora. Then the he'oros, this note says to note that it's not going to be stated what the person was makdish. So we're going to learn about a fellow being makdish, sanctifying something that's empty and later gets filled up. But we're not going to tell you immediately in the source what the item is. Tanu Rabbanan, Hikdishon Reikonin, V'achakach Nismalu. They were sanctified empty and later became filled. Moyalin Bohen, V'ein Moyalin Bima Shebesochon. And there's no Me'ila violation on that which accumulates later. Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon, Omer af moyalin bima shebesochan. He is of the opinion that even future accumulation can warrant the mi'ila violation if one benefits from those things for personal use. Before we continue in the Gemara, of course, everyone is noticing the appearance of a new geometric form, in this case, the bow tie, and a house image after that. Geometric forms, as we noted earlier when we described the double underline with the dots in it, here too, these are actual geometric forms. They indicate something that is to draw your attention to the future, to the coming sections of Gemara. And that is the series phenomenon that we have made reference to before. In this case, let's take a look at the outside margin, where we have our topic heading and a structural note combined. The nose, hemshech, meaning this is a continuation of the topic we've been dealing with, mivneh, together with structural notes. The bow tie are shlavim behavonas rabba. We're going to have, Rabba is going to comment on the source that we just read, offer his opinion on what the topic of the source is, what was being sanctified empty, and we're going to have stages in trying to understand what Rabba is saying. The house is being used to focus on the expressions machlekes, divrei kol, namely, there's certain items that are subject of controversy. As we saw, there's a first opinion, and then Rebbe Elazar, Rebbe Shimon. What topic are they arguing about? And then there are things that they agree on, and hence that's under the heading Divrei HaKol. If you have a volume of the Shas Ozer, or if you're viewing it on the screen, you have to now proceed to Amud Beis, and you'll see again at the top a bow tie with a number 2 in the space, and the space immediately to the right-hand side of the Gemara text. We try to maintain the same side of the Gemara text when the markings appear on different pages and we number them in the space between the Gemara text. Sometimes it's going to be between the Gemara text and the Rashi, or sometimes the Gemara text and the Tosis. Whatever the case is, we try to maintain consistency and maintain the same side of the Gemara text. So you can see on the right-hand side of the text on Omid Beis, number 2, where Rabba appears again, trying to set up the source under what circumstances is there machlokas, and under what circumstances would there be agreement. Continuing in the Gemara itself, on Ayin Tes, Amud Aleph, 4 lines from the bottom, Omar Rabba, machlokas besode ve'ilan. The machlokas tanoim, the Tanaic controversy, concerns the case of sanctifying a tree that currently has no fruit, or the sode, the case of the field that also has no grass growing in it yet. The Tanakama sovar, the Tanakama who is of the lenient opinion with regard to the future growth, he said ein molin on that. Sovar lo k'Rebbe Yehuda, he holds like Rebbe Yehuda. We saw Rebbe Yehuda in the Tanaic source in the middle of the page, where one is not violating mi'ila if he benefits on a personal basis from the future accumulations. Since we're talking about Sada Ilan, we can align Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon, who says that one is guilty of mi'ila on future growth, just like Rabbi Yossi said, but in the case of the field and the tree, which is our topic. Avol, bebor v'shovach. We've squiggle underlined the word avol because we try to use this marking, the squiggle underline. Its primary use is to serve as a point of distinction between a comment made earlier and something stated afterwards. In this case, the earlier comment focused on machlokas. Now we switch to something that there will be agreement on. Hence, we squiggle on the avol, which is the switch word. Avol, the bor of a shovach, in the case of those items, divrei hako, moyolin bohen, the ein moyolin b'mashi b'sochan. Everyone, all the tanoim would agree, even Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon would agree, that there's mi'ila on the item itself that was dedicated, but not that which accumulates future. Omale Abaye. Notice in the space between the Rashi and the Gemara, the right-hand side of the Gemara text, a kuf that's encircled with a dashed vertical line. This indicates a long question marking, which continues to the top of Omid Beis. Abaye raises a problem. Omale Abaye. Ve'alaha desanya. That which is stated, which in effect is the seifa of the brisa that was just quoted a few lines up, that which is stated in the seifa, hikdishan melein, if one sanctified the item, once again, as far as the brisa is concerned, we don't know what item we're talking about. That was Rabba's job to clarify, but when we read this, we have to assume we don't know what it's talking about. And then read in Rabbah's interpretation, and then we'll find a difficulty. So the source says, Higdishon Malayin, he sanctified those items filled, Moalin Bohen Uv Amashe Besochan. One would be guilty of Me'ila on the item and the contents therein. Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon Machlif. Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon switches his opinion from that which he had said before. Before he mentioned, there is mi'ila on the contents. In that case, it was future contents. Here he switches opinion, saying there's no mi'ila on the contents that exist right now. V'i, besode, v'ilan. If, as Rabba suggested, that the controversy in the source surrounded the sode, v'ilan, amai machlif. Why would Rabbi Yossi say that if he's makdish a tree or a field mole, that there's no mi'ila on that which is currently in it, namely the fruit on the trees or the grasses in the field? Let's take a look at the Rashbam at the top. V'i besod of v'ilon pligi li'el gabi hegdeshon reikonin v'huadin b'seifa. If the Tanaic source was focusing on these items, amai machlif, why would there be a need for Rabbi Yossi, for Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, to switch his opinion? Kol shekein hacha demoyalin bima shebesochan. In the case of a tree or a field, if when they were empty, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon says you would be guilty of mi'ila on future growth, all the more so, one should be guilty on the current context when one sanctified them filled. Deikotati, you have two reasons, namely gidule hegdish, they grow from field or tree that were sanctified. Vegam hikdish hakol biyachad, and in this case, he sanctified everything together. As a result of this difficulty in setting up the sources Rabba did in stage one, the Gemara proceeds to a restatement. Elo Omar Rabba, Machloikes Bebor V'Shovach. The Tanaic controversy that's featured in the source is concerns the sanctification of a bor, a pit, and a shovach, a coop. Aval besode ve'ilon divrei hakol moyalin bohen uvama shebesochan. Let's also, at this point, glance at the Rashbam. There's an asterisk helping you to find it. Hochi garsinon elo omar rabo machlokes de malein v'reikonin. The machlokes that we saw in the source, the Reisha and the Seifa, the first part and the second part of that source, where the Seifa spoke about someone sanctifying it filled, and the Reisha spoke about him sanctifying it empty and later on being filled. Bebor v'shovach. It's the source is focused on those items. Kidim eforish v'yozul, as the more will explain. Avol besod v'ilan bein malein bein merkonim divrei hakol moyolim bohen uvamashe besofan kerabiosi. As far as the Tanoim in this source, the Tanakama and Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon would agree with Rabbi Yosi as opposed to Rabbi Yehuda. In other words, we would have a total of three opinions saying that in the case of sanctifying a tree or a field, there would be mi'ilah on future growth, and certainly if one sanctified it, sanctified those items filled. De mi'uko imo, because Rabbi Yosi is the opinion when found in a machlokes, he usually he dives to the depths of understanding, and hence he's the opinion to be preferred. That having been said, we've set up the Tanaic source in which the Tanakama and Rabbi Elazar Shimon are arguing. The source and its topic is sanctification of bor and shovach. In the case of the Reisha, he sanctified them empty. In the case of the Seifa, he sanctified them filled. The Gemara now is going to analyze those two possibilities. Ubebor v'shovach bereikonim b'mai pligi. That's the first thing that needs to be understood. Hence, we've indicated that with an aleph, and now beis, the second thing that needs to be clarified. Uvemulein b'mai pligi. We've used a diamond in the section of Gemara that we're about to learn in order to highlight the two topics that we just mentioned with the aleph and beis. Before we go any further, let's take advantage of our topic headings and structural notes that appear on the outside margin, the nosei. Lefi rabo, kayemes machlukes tanoim bebor v'shovach shegdishon reikonim v'achakon smalu meleim. As far as rabo is concerned in stage 2, the machlukes tanoim is over the topic of bor v'shovach that he sanctified empty, or in the case of the seif, he sanctified them filled. The mivneh, that's the structural note. You notice the diamonds featured. Hesberim, these will be explanations. Bereikonim, b'mai pligi. What is the machlokes between the Tanakama and Rabbi Elazar b'Shimon when he sanctifies them empty? And number two, b'mileim, b'mai pligi. What are they arguing about when it comes to the case of his sanctifying them full? We now look in the Gemara, and you can see on the page how the markings help to lay out that which you're going to see. The diamonds we have now, and in a little bit below the midway mark of the page, you see it as well, where it says, "V'mleim b'mai pligi." We've also used a double underline to feature the names of the Tanakama and Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon. The Gemara says, "Bereikonim, bepligi, beplukto de Rabbi Meir v'Rabbanan." In the case of the bor or shovach sanctified while empty, is there meila? Is there a violation of meila because of sanctity regarding the future accumulation? In the case of the bor, the water. In the case of the shovach, the birds that come later on. The machlokis that in our source parallels the machlokas between Rabbi Meir and the Rabbonan. We don't see Rabbi Meir and the Rabbonan in our Gemara. The Rashbam makes a reference to it on to the side. He says, Plukta, the Rabbi Meir, the Rabbonan, the Rashbam, Gabi ha'omer li shareyat mekudeshes li amanashe es gayer amanashe tis gayri v'chulei b'harbe mekomos. The classical case of someone offers marriage to a woman, but one of them is not yet Jewish. He says to a woman, be mekudeshes to me. Currently the speaker is a non-Jew. He says, on condition that I convert, or vice versa, or on condition that she converts. Is there any value in such a tanai, such a condition? In other words, do we place a premium on future development concerning that which is stated now? The Gemara continues. The Tanakama, who says that there's no mi'ila on future accumulation, Sovala Karabonon, the Amri, the Tanakama holds like the Shita of the Rabbonon over there in the Rabbi Meir controversy, and their opinion is, Ein oda makne dovar shelo bo liolam. A person does not transact items that have not come to be. In this case, one who sanctified the bor, it was an empty bor. The water has not come to be yet, hasn't accumulated there yet. Hence, just like one is not makne, something hasn't come to be, so too one does not sanctify that which has not come to be. Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon, who says there is mi'ila on that which comes afterwards, so far Rabbi Meir, the Oda Omar, Oda Makne, Dovor, Shelo, Boli, Olam. He subscribes to Rabbi Meir's opinion that says one does transact items that have not come to be. The Gemara, though, asks, one might understand Rabbi Meir's idea that a person transacts things that haven't come to be, but maybe that's true only with regard to things that are sure to come. However, things that are not sure to come, maybe those things cannot be transacted. And in our case, let's look at the water or the birds. Is the water sure to come? Are the birds sure to come? The Gemara asks, Amor, the Shamis lay the Rabbi Meir. Maybe it is so that Odo Makne Dovah Shaloba Liolam Kigon Peros Dekel. For example, the fruit of the palm, the dates, the avidi diosu. Every season, the dates grow. Honey, the case of the water in the pit that hasn't come yet, or the birds that haven't come yet to the coop, mi yemar diosu, who is to say that they will come? And therefore, the question is, why should they be kadosh? Omar Rava. Rava explains that we can actually set up a parallel case concerning the boar and the shovach to the case of the tree and its fruits. Omar Rava Mishkachas law. We can find a case of what's called avidi diosu, that they are destined to come. B'mayim haboyim derech hatzeru labor. Imagine you have a pit that's located on a slope, and a person has a home, has a yard, has a chotzer, and when it rains in his chotzer, the water that comes to his chotzer inevitably comes to the boar. Hence, it's similar to the case of the fruit coming to the trees. V'yoinim haboim derech shovcho l'shovach. Or a person might have a few bird coops. They're occupied, they have birds in them, and one of them happens to be empty. And it's inevitable that the birds from the occupied coops will occupy this empty bird coop. In those cases, then, Rebbe Elazar Rebbe Shimon would say that one who's makdish those things, the bor and the shovach empty, the future content will be sanctified. Uvimleim b'may pligi. Before we continue, we must just remind ourselves that in the case of one who sanctified these items full, Rebbe Elazar Rebbe Shimon switched his opinion. Namely, the item, the contents of the item that were sanctified will not be sanctified, as it contrasted with the first case, which dealt with the future accumulation. What is the explanation of the machlokis in the case of sanctifying these items filled? Omar Rova, Kagon Sheikdish Bor Stam. Person sanctified the bor, though water was in it, he made no mention of the water. He said, I'm sanctifying the pit. Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, that said that the water is not Kodosh, Sovar Lo Keavua. That he holds like his father's opinion, namely like Rabbi Shimon, the Omar, Rabbi Shimon was a shita that we saw in the fourth perek, that said, Donin din govoya mi din hedyot. Din govoya is a reference to hegdish, sanctification. We learn the rules of sanctification from rules of common transactions. Hedyot means non-Beis HaMikdash affairs, common mundane affairs. Ma din hedyot, in the case of someone who, let's say, sells a pit. He sells a pit, stam. Motzi omar le, the mocher can say, as far as Shitas Reb Shimon is concerned, he can say, Bira zviniloch, maya lo zviniloch. I sold you a pit. I did not sell you water. This is in line with the opinion that a mocher, ba'ayin ra'ah mocher, that when one sells, he sells with a limited mindset. Af din gavoya, bira aktish, maya lo aktish. So too, when it comes to din gavoya, namely sanctification, one can say, I sanctified the pit, I did not sanctify the water. We've added emphasis under the expression af din gavoa because this is the point of contrast, or in this case, point of parallel between the din hedyot, which we also emphasized the line above. Notice, ma din hedyot, af din gavoa. Those are both emphasized because of the comment that was made beforehand where the Gemara said, donin din gavoa mi din hedyot. Hence, we wanted to bring out the parallel through this marking emphasis. The Gemara asks a question, Vedin hedyot loi? In the case of transactions, is that so that water is not part of the sale? Where one sells a pit, the water is not included, but we have a source. It says, Mohar bor, Mohar meimov, that one who sells a pit does include the sale of the water in it. Notice how we've dashed underlined the expression Mohar meimov. That is the main point of the question. Omar Rava. Rava says the Mishnah that you're quoting, Masnisin Yechidahi. This Mishnah is a singular opinion, namely the majority don't agree with it, and hence we don't have to reckon with it. Desanya, the concept of Mohar Meimov will appear in this Brisa, and the main feature of the Brisa is the fact that you'll see a name attached to this opinion, a singular name. The source begins, Mohar Bor, Lo Mohar Meimov. That's the Tanakama, we'll say the Chachamim, the majority opinion. Reb Nosson Omer, Mohar Bor, Mohar Meimov. It's only Rabbi Nosson's opinion that holds Mohar Meimov. Therefore, when we see an opinion that doesn't agree with the idea of Mohar Meimov, rather, Mohar Bor, Lo Mohar Meimov, and we parallel that to the Din Gavoa, he's on safe ground, because he would be basing himself on that which is otherwise a majority opinion, like the Tanakhama here that said, Mohar Bor Lo Mohar Meimov. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.